From the 1011 Now streaming studio in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the End Report Husker Show.
Hi, everyone. Bill Rentschler in the 1011 Now streaming studio. Hope everyone is having an excellent Tuesday. Joined, as always, by sports director Kevin Suits for another edition of the End Report Husker Show. Talking quickly today, though, because we had several women's basketball players take home some Big Ten awards today as they're getting ready for the Big Ten tournament later this week.
We'll start with Natalie Potts being named the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, which is according to the coaches. Surprisingly, she did not get that award according to the media. What does the media know, right? She only won the Conference Freshman of the Week award 8 times. So,
how many weeks in the Big Ten play?
Oh, my goodness, 12, 14?
75% of the time.
Yeah. So, Natalie Potts, Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Second time over the last 3 seasons a Husker has taken that award home, the other being Alexis Markowski in 2022. All Big Ten honorees for Nebraska beyond Natalie Potts, Alexis Markowski, first-team selection. Jazz Shelley, second team selection, and then Logan Nisley was also named all freshman team for Nebraska as well. Not surprised about Markowski, but think about the conference this year to get first team accolades. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, especially, again, this was the year of women's basketball in the Big Ten. Again, for all we heard about Iowa and Caitlin Clark, and again, rightfully so, Ohio State actually wins the conference in part because Iowa loses to Nebraska on Super Bowl Sunday.
Absolutely. So Ohio State, was very good this year. Maryland had a solid season. Nebraska now looks ahead to postseason play. They head to the Big Ten Conference Tournament on Thursday. They are the 5 seed. Amy Williams was very honest just moments ago about Nebraska was aiming for the 4 seed, which means a double bye. You don't play until the quarterfinals until Friday, but that's not the scenario. Nebraska awaits the winner of Northwestern Purdue. Might not be the worst thing. The Huskers at the moment are 19-10. They appear to be safely in the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, which is the following week. So it's an okay spot. Actually, it's in 2 weeks following that. Nebraska's in an okay spot. Playing as the 5 seed gives Nebraska an opportunity to pick up another victory, assuming they beat Northwestern or Purdue. So that would put them right at 20. But, yeah, this is an exciting time of the season. Jazz Shelley even shared with me that, you know, March just has a different feel to it, especially when Nebraska is chasing some things that they believe are pretty attainable.
And after missing the tournament last year again, certainly motivated again just to get to the tournament. I know there was a question there about seeding in the NCAA tournament, but I don't think it sounded like they really care right now. They're just looking to get to the postseason.
Well, Nebraska went to the Big Ten Conference tournament last year knowing that their NCAA fate probably existed on how they performed at the conference, and they went one and done. And it's ultimately cost Nebraska a spot in the big dance. This year, there's a little bit more breathing room because the Huskers played such an aggressive non-conference schedule. They built some wins early in the year, and they have an RPI, I believe, Bill, in around 30, 40 somewhere. It's in a good spot. So they got some house money right now in their pockets, and it'll be nice to see them make a run at the Big Ten tournament. I think they're capable. They have some really good pieces. Jazz Shelley, as a second-team all-conference selection, playing for that additional season. And Amy Williams really sang Jazz's praises today, reflecting on her second senior season. Not just her scoring numbers have decreased a little bit, but the way she is creating and distributing the basketball. And, you know, I'm not a coach. I just observe the game. But as we were going through some of our video from this year and putting together our Natalie Potts file video, almost every one of the shots that we have in this about a minute and a half long, it's all from Jazz assists. So there's some great action that those two have together. And I think that part of Potts's individual success this year has been a byproduct of Jazz creating for her.
And it will be, again, a sold-out arena up in Minneapolis for the Big Ten tournament. First time, I believe, that they have sold out the tournament. So, again, the crowds undoubtedly will be great for, I would guess, all the games.
There has just been a swell of momentum regarding women's basketball, college women's basketball, specifically the Big Ten. People can lazily point to it's the Caitlin Clark effect, but it's more than that. It's there's just growing interest in female athletics. You think about Volleyball Day in Nebraska. Think about the sport of volleyball and the way that there were routine attendance records, viewership records that were broken throughout the regular season. And now it's spilling over into the basketball season. And it doesn't hurt that the Big Ten is so top-heavy this year. They have some stars beyond Caitlin Clark. They have some elite teams that are national championship caliber teams, Ohio State, Indiana, and Iowa. So it's created just a ton of momentum for the sport, and it's going to culminate in Minneapolis next week, or later this week, excuse me, for the Big Ten tournament.
Eventually it stops being like, look at this, this happened, and it just becomes the new norm. And I think that's probably what we're going to really see with this uptick in women's sports.
And even look at Nebraska's attendance this year. It's been fun going to Pinnacle Bank Arena for women's basketball this season. They've welcomed some really talented teams. And even the game when there was a snowstorm bearing down on Lincoln, I believe it was a Thursday night, Nebraska hosted Illinois, who is in the bottom half of the conference. There were still a couple thousand people inside Pinnacle Bank Arena when you guys, as meteorologists, were saying, stay home.
Don't do it.
You
no,
couldn't
no.
keep Husker Nation from going to downtown Lincoln to watch that game.
It's been a lot of fun this whole entire season. So Big Ten tournament starts on
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Nebraska plays Thursday.
And they'll play the winner of Northwestern Purdue. And then if Nebraska wins, they would play 4-seed Michigan State. Which I think you have to like that draw there. But then you're also on the top half of the bracket with number one seed Ohio State. You could potentially meet them in the semifinals. The championship game will be on Sunday, and you can watch that right here on CBS.
And as a fan, you might be like, ooh, that one how much difference is there between the one seed, the two seed, the three? Not a ton.
No.
So you're going to have to play somebody good in the semifinals anyway. So just take the draw and try to roll the dice and see what can happen.
And so transitioning over to the men's side, they wrapped up their home schedule this weekend. They beat Rutgers, like 67-58, I think it was. And that was another full house, pretty raucous crowd there at PBA Sunday night.
Well, it's the last chance to see Nebraska in person in Lincoln this year. And it was senior night, of course, a very special ceremony there for Nebraska's outgoing players, Keisei Tominaga, of course. Did some Keisei Tominaga things. You know, there was a couple of logo shots there, and then even one that pretty much sealed the win. And it seemed pretty apropos for that game and all the festivities of that night that Nebraska had a lead. It wasn't quote-unquote comfortable at the time, but then Keisei hits a 30-foot three-pointer. He's hit on the arm, and that was pretty much the defining moment of that game. So that was fun. And then, of course, Josiah Alec goes to the postgame news conference wearing a fur coat.
That was amazing. Also, I wanted to say I've been waiting for Keisei to get a tee all year long from some of his post-shot celebrations, and I thought it might happen right there when he hit that three from the Panhandle logo at midcourt, but it did not.
Fans will lose it if he gets teed up for that because he does not get many calls.
Mm-mm.
Guarding him is difficult, and we've even spoken on this show multiple times, Bill, about how Terrence Shannon, you know, was saying that guarding that guy was exhausting. It was a challenging task, and there have been other players across the league that don't like guarding Keisei because he always moves, and you can't relax because he will shoot from anywhere. And as they chase him around, like, he's being held, he's being hugged. Sometimes his arm is getting knocked, but we don't need to go into the statistical analysis of what happened at Ohio State last week, but Keisei got no fouls called on him. So if he were to get teed up, I think there are a lot of fans who would just lose their minds.
Yes, but Nebraska now, they're in a great spot with just one game remaining. They are the 4 seed, so if the season ended today, they would have a double bye in the men's tournament with that record of 11-8. One game left at Michigan. Michigan is, again, bottom of the barrel, 3-16 in conference, 8-22 overall. Again, you don't want to count your chickens before they're hatched. But, again, especially with the whole home-road split, but you'd have to like the Huskers' chances in that.
This is honestly a game that should scare you because Michigan is going to let it all hang out here. It's their last game. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have a whole lot to play for. Their coach's future is very much uncertain right now. So you never know. This is a team that really has absolutely nothing to lose. Mm. Granted, when they came to Lincoln and everybody watched them firsthand, you could walk away from that game saying that Michigan team, they're not an upper level Big Ten team. Something has happened in Ann Arbor where they've really dropped off, and they are the 14th best team in the Big Ten right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they could put it all together and they could get on a heater on Sunday and beat Nebraska. Nebraska's resume right now still does not have a bad loss, a quadrant three or quadrant four loss. This would be that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a game that would just kind of give you this skeptical eye about Nebraska heading into the postseason. If you're a committee member, if you're somebody that's watching Nebraska as they transition into the madness part of the schedule. So if they can avoid that, Nebraska. So to reset, you said where Nebraska is right now. They're a four seed in the conference tournament. They could be a three if they beat Michigan, and Northwestern has another loss this week. So the Huskers could possibly move up in their seeding for the conference tournament. A loss at Michigan and a few other factors could knock Nebraska down to a five seed or a six, which would then mean they are playing on Thursday in Minneapolis next week.
Yeah, it'll be again, they have their second bye of the season, so there's no midweek game, so just the game on Sunday. So again, we will find out Sunday night where they will be sitting in terms of the Big Ten tournament.
Most likely scenario is they are the four seed.
Yeah.
Heading to Minneapolis with a Friday afternoon game at the Big Ten tournament. And beyond the Big Tens, everybody wants to know about bracketology. What Nebraska, I think, is pretty safely in the NCAA tournament right now, given their KenPom, given their net ranking, and all the other analytics. They all project Nebraska to be into the NCAA tournament. They're anywhere from a seven might be reaching, 8 seed, 9 seed, 10 seed. That's kind of right where Nebraska falls. And it's pretty unsettled where everything is gonna line up with the NCAA tournament right now.
Yeah. I think, but again, if you go to Michigan, you do what you're supposed to do, then there's absolutely no question you're in the tournament. Anything you do at that point is probably gravy in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. Again, I don't know how much the conference tournament factors into where you are seated for the NCAA tournament. Again, 8, 9, 10 range, that's kind of where they're at. They played their way out of Dayton, I believe.
Yep.
So they're not going to have to worry about the first four. And now you're in, and even the projections, as they get updated multiple times throughout the week, I've seen Nebraska playing a first-round NCAA tournament game in Omaha. Mm-hmm. I think that's highly unlikely, by the way. I've seen them in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I've seen them in Memphis. I've seen them in Salt Lake City. It's pretty hard to project where Nebraska will play, but I think the 8-9 game would be the safe money right now.
Yeah, hard to predict what Kevin's going to have to do for travel plans.
And some of the opponents I've seen Nebraska possibly face, there are none of the opponents that I would think, like, ooh, if I'm Fred Hoiberg, I'd want to avoid that. Like,
yeah.
There hasn't been one of the – Texas Tech, Texas, Utah – I like Utah State. It has one of my favorite players in college basketball right now, and great Osabor. But I think that the teams that they're around, I would love to see these games, and I think Nebraska would have a chance to possibly be favored in some of those games.
Yeah, I think so too. All the projections I've seen, it's not been like, oh man, can't play them. You know,
is there one that you saw and you're like, oh, I like that?
I mean, I think, again, all of them. All of them were, you know, the Texas Tech, it's like, again, Nebraska this year, I think you can put them up. Like when we talk about with the AP rankings, you know, you get, you know, past 18 through 25. They're all fairly interchangeable, and I think Nebraska would have a decent chance at beating any one of those teams.
I would agree. BYU is another team that I've seen.
I wouldn't want to play them in Salt Lake City, though.
They won't do that. You know, BYU is not going to play in Salt Lake City as an 8 or 9 seed. That's not fair to the 1 seed. That's where I don't know about Nebraska going to Omaha. That's my skepticism there. Because, well, prior to last week, I would have said Kansas is pretty much a shoe-in to go to Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would have been a 2 seed. So that would have made, you know, the 2-10 or the 2-15, the 7-10 games in Omaha at the CHI Health Center.
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to put Nebraska in Omaha as the underdog on the 7-10 game. That's the 17, the 7 seed is going to have exception to that. Not to mention Nebraska, if they would have historically advanced. We understand Nebraska's never won an NCAA tournament game. But if they were to advance, you telling me that the 10 seed would have a home court advantage over the 2 seed? That makes zero sense to me.
There would be issues with that.
Similarly, if Nebraska were to go to Omaha in an 8-9 game and they are to reward a team, say Iowa State. Again, like I don't know that a 1 seed would go to Omaha. So it's more about that 2 seed. Let's say Iowa State goes to Omaha as the 2 seed.
Yeah.
They're playing a 2-15 game. Nebraska's 7-10. I don't know that the NCAA tournament will put Nebraska in Omaha because they wouldn't be high enough to be favored in the opening rounds. So it would be an unfair advantage to an underdog team and more of a penalty to a higher seed.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping for Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, I think, would be fun.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis would be good. Been there before.
If you're looking for a drivable trip, if you're a fan, I mean, Omaha, we're going to
take that off the list.
It's taking them off the list. There aren't many drivable options. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your limit is in the car to go watch Nebraska basketball, but I really think the only option that exists would be Indianapolis.
Yeah,
that would otherwise, be you know, you could do Memphis, but that's a haul. You could do Salt Lake City. That's a long ride. Don't take the kids if you're going to do it because you're going to have to stop. Wait, there's too many potty breaks in there.
I-80 West, once you get past Laramie, there's not a lot there.
I have no idea where Nebraska is going to go. It's part of the intrigue here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the clock is ticking towards Selection Sunday. It is a week from this weekend, mm-hmm. From this upcoming Sunday. So,
really quickly before we have to let you go, baseball in Charleston goes undefeated against Charleston, not against the weather. They did have one game that was canceled. But 3-0 against College of Charleston. And for a hot second there, if you looked at the RPI rankings for baseball, Nebraska was number one. Currently number three now, but 7-3 overall record. A pretty good start to the season for Will Bolt's crew.
Well, there's been a couple of series now or a couple of weekends where Nebraska has beaten a team that has preseason been labeled as a dark horse for the College World Series. And beyond that, so the RPI indicates that Nebraska's played a tough schedule already. Mm-hmm. And they have a nice record coming out of the first couple of weeks of the regular season. I think Will Bolt has to be most happy, beyond the wins, about the way his team has won. Clutch they have hitting. Scrapped and clawed, and they've won games in the ninth inning. So I'm starting to get a little bit of 2021 vibes from this team.
Gritty, not pretty.
Gritty, not pretty, with Jackson Hallmark, Spencer Schwellenbach. They had some just tough-as-nails pitchers out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And so far, it's been hard to diagnose because all the games have been away from Lincoln. But you get a little bit of that from this team, that they're going to find ways to win ball games, and that's exactly how Will Bolt likes his team.
Yeah, Brett Sears has looked good as their Friday starter, so we'll have to see if that continues. They open
and Kyle Perry. And
Kyle Perry,
like,
end,
what
yeah.
is he, like 43 years old? Like, still playing, but I think he's kind of at the core because he was on that team, and he's seen teams that have had that win-at-all-cost DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe we're going to talk to Kyle tomorrow.
Ooh, there we go.
Ahead of Nebraska's home opening weekend. Yes. So I'm sure he can shed some light as to what the clubhouse is like right now and what he's bringing to the table in terms of maybe being at the core of these ninth inning rallies for Nebraska.
Well, we will look forward to that report tomorrow. Again, the Huskers open their home opener of the season this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They host South Alabama, 4:05 first pitch on Friday. Kevin, I'm sure.
What's the weather?
Highlights Friday. Looks okay. It's supposed to rain Thursday night. I think it's going to be done by Friday afternoon, though. Maybe just a little bit on the cool side, but it's early March.
Cool side. What are we like?
I mean, we're probably talking upper 40s, low 50s, I think, on Friday, which is doable. It's not 30s. I mean, it might be 30s by the time the game's done, but
it's going to be chilly.
And then the weekend looks really nice.
Blanket and coat weather for the home opener.
That's right.
All
right. Kevin, appreciate your time as always. Again, look forward to hearing about Kyle Perry tomorrow. And again, for all things Husker related, the Big Ten tournament this weekend. Keep tuned to 1011 both on air and online. Thanks everyone for tuning in and watching. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the End Report Husker Show from 1011. Watch, listen, and stream on the 1011 Now app, on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. For more Husker coverage throughout the week, watch the End Report on 1011 Sports at 6 and 10 p.m. and download the 1011 Now app.